Patricia Cornwell joins us by phone tonight. Having sold over 100 million novels, she's the international best-selling author of the Kay Scarpetta novels. Her novels have won numerous prestigious awards, including the Edgar, the Creasy, the Anthony, the McCavity, and the Prix du Roman d'Aventure. Cornwell prides herself on researching what her character experiences. Among other things, she's a licensed helicopter pilot and scuba diver, and she appears as a forensic consultant on CNN and serves as a member of the Harvard-affiliated McLean Hospitals National Council, focusing on psychiatric research. We're going to talk about her latest novel, featuring the medical examiner, Dr. Kay Scarpetta. It is titled Depraved Heart. Patricia, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you.
Congratulations on celebrating the 25th anniversary with Kay Scarpetta.
It's fun. We're having a nice birthday bash for our favorite morgue lady.
Yeah. I want to tell you that I learned something new right from the start, because the title of your latest novel, Depraved Heart, is actually a legal term. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. And, you know, the weird thing about it is I'd already come up with this title for this new Scarpetta book long before the whole tragedy in Baltimore occurred. And then we started seeing Depraved Heart, that term, all over the news because of the crimes that people were being accused of and calling them depraved heart murder. So people begin to get a look at this very archaic legal term, which basically, and in my book, what it's referring to is the reckless and absolute outrageous disregard for human life when somebody does things that are so horrific for reasons that might even be their own entertainment, but the result of it is absolute catastrophe for all involved. And that's what we're dealing with in Depraved Heart, is an evil intelligence behind the scenes that is really playing almost like a video game with the characters in terms of manipulating people to do certain things, while this person is really kind of sitting back and watching and using modern technology for surveillance and to really be spying on the prey, these poor people who are being harassed this way and in some cases murdered. So that's the crux of all this, is that particular legal term. That's what I'm playing on.
If you would, just briefly reacquaint listeners with your main characters, Kay, of course, and Benton, Wesley, your husband, and Lucy, who's front and center.
Well, Scarpetta is a really fun character. Kay Scarpetta, her profession is she's a forensic pathologist. She has a law degree, chief medical examiner. But the biggest thing that makes Scarpetta different, forgetting all the shows you've seen on TV, CSI and all the rest of it, it isn't just about forensics. What you're talking about with this character is somebody who uses this highly refined, extremely well-trained mind to solve very difficult, physically awful crimes. And so what is just a delight for me when I put Scarpetta through her paces in every book is there is no area of science or technology or medicine that's off limits in terms of what we might want to utilize in a criminal case. And so she has this huge bag of tricks, and it makes it so much fun for me to figure out which one she's going to really pull out of her hat, so to speak, in any given situation.
So Benton Wesley is her husband. He's an FBI guy. Tell us about Lucy, because she is very focused on her.
Lucy is especially interesting in Depraved Heart, because when the book opens, we find out in very short order that Lucy's property is being raided by the FBI, and Scarpetta has to roll away from a crime scene and head over to Lucy's estate, and she's greeted by an FBI helicopter, and the road is blocked, and all this is going on. And so we become extremely concerned for Lucy's welfare and what is happening and what's the government really up to with her. But what's really kind of going to throw people for a loop, I think, by the end of Depraved Heart is you really should be asking the question by the time this ends, who is Lucy and what is she really up to? Mm-hmm. You know, I've led you down a certain path for a quarter of a century about these characters, but I may not have told you all the secrets yet. And Lucy begins to register on the radar at this point in the series in a way that we haven't seen her before, and I think it's really fun.
Yeah, I recently read that one theory of crime fiction is to have an eccentric character. So give us a little description of Lucy, because I think that adjective fits her, yes?
Well, Lucy's an eccentric character in the sense that you're never really sure whether she's a good guy or a bad guy. She is this unbelievably smart young lady. She's a computer person, and as a teenager, she was one of these techies who became fabulously wealthy from search engines and all sorts of other things that she created and produced and sold. And so she's this unbelievable computer intelligence, and she is a forensic computer person, a cybercrimes expert. She works with her aunt, Scarpetta, who has raised her like a daughter. But theirs is a very interesting relationship because Lucy's a renegade. You can't really control her. You can't contain her. If she wants to hack into the Interpol's database, she will. She does what she wants. And Scarpetta has lived a lot of her life with this pseudo-daughter of hers, sometimes averting her gaze because she maybe doesn't want to know everything that Lucy's involved in, because Scarpetta's job is to maintain the law, and we're not so sure that Lucy is doing the same thing. So that's that relationship. Then you, as you mentioned, Benton Wesley, he's a criminal intelligence analyst for the FBI, what we've historically called profilers, although he's taken it to a much more experienced and intricate level because he is also, he's a real bona fide forensic psychologist, and he's very well trained, very, very bright person, an elegant, very quiet person who's a very good counterbalance for our fiery medical examiner. And then you've got Marino, who is Scarpetta's sidekick. He's an investigator, a police officer, and she's worked with him in some form or fashion her entire career, and he's the antithesis of these rather more elegant people. He's exactly what you want. He's the kind of guy riding around in a muscle shirt on a Harley.
At the beginning of the novel, Scarpetta has recently sustained a very serious injury, and she's at the scene of another woman who has died unrelated to the injury. She receives a message, and she thinks that it's from an old enemy, if you will. So that starts this whole electronic fright game that you're talking about. And you actually coined a term in relation to that. You want to talk about data fiction?
Yes. Well, I wish data fiction, the whole concept of it, wasn't so applicable to modern times. But I think the whole notion of data fiction is a concern that all of us have today. And again, Scarpetta is a mirror. I hold a mirror up to show you the world you live in. Don't ever forget it. I'm not writing about crimes that happened 20 years ago. I'm talking about today and what we deal with. And one of the things we have to ask ourselves constantly is, what do we believe anymore? When we live in an era where everything is electronic or residing in the cloud or cyberspace, or we're watching political debates on TV and listening to pundits and talking heads describing things, what's true and what isn't? Because it's becoming very difficult to know. And this sets us up as a population, a worldwide population, for being victimized in ways that are really pretty terrible. For example, when your bank balance is an electronic figure on an app on your phone, is your money really safe? Are you sure? When you can turn the lights on in your house remotely from an app on your phone, what's to say someone else isn't going to do that and hack into your entire home, disarm your burglar alarm, turn off the phones, and then break in and kill everybody? I can come up with a lot of ugly scenarios. And so the whole notion of data fiction is not only that, but also the whole time that we are watching all sorts of things that technology affords us to see. Who's watching us? Who's looking at our emails? Who's in listening to our telephone conversations? Who's listening to this radio interview right now? Mm-hmm. Who's not supposed to be? Well, I don't know, and none of us do. And so I'm really trying to begin to develop a very good inside look at this modern world we live in terms of what is technology doing, both good and bad, for us.
Let's go back to a different kind of moment very briefly. Your first novel with Kay Scarpetta was Postmortem. You have a great story about trying to get it published, first of all, but tell us about what your first book signing was like.
Oh, my God, my first book signing. And a lot of my early book signings were like this, but the first one was the worst one. That sounds like a poem. I was working at the medical examiner's office in Richmond, Virginia, where I had gone because I wanted to learn about that, to write books about it. So I went and got a job there. That's how I approached my research. Well, 1 year went by, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and I couldn't get published. I was writing a book a year. I was a computer person, and I was seeing autopsies every day and doing just massive amounts of research, spending a lot of time in the forensic labs. And I had a little office on the medical examiner's floor, cinder block walls, no windows, right across from the elevator where all the bad smells came up in, from the cases in the morning. And I'd finally managed to get one book sold, and that was Postmortem. So one day I walked down to this local bookstore that was downtown, and it was a religious bookstore, which is not a good fit for a Scarpetta novel. But it was the only one there, and the guy was nice to me, so I went in and I arranged with him that I could do a book signing when this book came out. I did not have publicists or marketing people. I mean, I had nothing when I was getting started with this. So we arranged to do this. I had to give him my free case of books so he had books to put in the window. Those first editions are now worth on average $2,000 a piece, so I wish I had them all back because I gave him 20 of them. And then on the appointed day, I took my lab coat off. I walked out of the morgue. I walked a couple blocks to this particular bookstore, and there was my table set up, and I was a nervous wreck. This was so exciting. I sat down. A whole hour went by, tick-tock, very loudly, I might add, in my mind, and not a single person showed up, except one lady walked up to my table, and she wanted to know where the cookbooks were. That was it. And I said, as I walked back to the morgue, I don't think you're going to make much of a living from this.
Well, here we are 25 years later, and here's to another 25.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you, Patricia.
Nice to talk to you.
All right. We'll look forward to more. Bye now.
Thank you.
I've been talking with Patricia Cornwell about her latest novel titled Depraved Heart. You'll find more information at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.